Welcome to another episode of the Nuclear Medicine and Molecular Medicine podcast. And this time, we're going to talk a little bit about an interesting twist on a topic that we've talked about a lot before, and that's theranostics. And this is how external beam radiotherapy, what we can learn from it, and what we can combine that into our theranostics program. And for that, we had a very interesting talk today by Professor Catherine Vallis from the UK, from Oxford. Was it?
That's correct, yes.
And it was a really interesting talk, and I think what was interesting, it covered a range of different aspects. Mm-hmm. So let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and where you come from.
Sure. So I'm a radiation oncologist and professor of oncology at Oxford University. As well as a clinical practice in oncology, I run a research laboratory which is focused on developing new radiopharmaceuticals for imaging, but also for therapy. So I'm unusual insofar as I have a background in radiation oncology, but my research is in nuclear medicine, and that really is the background to my topic this morning.
I don't think your background should be unusual.
No.
I think it should be where people are going. I think it's important that therapy is front and centre in terms of what we do in nuclear medicine. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree with that. And, you know, one of the discussions we've been having at the conference here is, you know, this concept that nuclear oncology should be lined up there with radiation oncology, medical oncology and surgical oncology as a specialty in our discipline, our specialty. So yes, I think nuclear oncology is an important
right, and I think that's increasingly important. It's pretty obvious. For example, it's now really the standard form of treatment in really in neuroendocrine tumours now.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think it's going to be the standard form of treatment in prostate cancer. I think in many ways, I think there's a it's rapidly moving in that direction.
Yes,
I think what's interesting is that it's rapidly moving in the direction of cancers that really have been unsuccessful in many ways using conventional treatments. And I think a lot of the work we do is even more successful because we're targeting things that have been hard to do in the past.
Yes.
And I think it's great that we're doing that. But I'm not sure that we're doing it right yet. I mean, we've done iodine therapy, radioiodine therapies have been around since the days of Los Alamos.
Absolutely.
And we just give, particularly in a lot of countries, they just give a standard dose. Mm. And I think radiotherapy has got more and more precise. You've had a team of physicists who've been painting little targets and drawing things on and lining things up exactly, and thermoplastic masks and everything else.
Absolutely.
To try and make sure that when we do external beam radiotherapy, that we do it right by getting the maximum tolerable dose without causing too much damage to external tissue.
Yeah.
A lot of our therapy has been aimed at just giving a dose rather than saying, should we target for this person, should we target for the particular tumour?
Yeah.
But a lot of what we're talking about now is about how we can learn from that. Perhaps you could tell us a bit more about how we can learn from that. What sort of things do you do in external beam radiotherapy that we could learn from?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One is, as you've already mentioned, the whole idea of precise dosimetry. And that really is the bedrock of external beam radiotherapy. But in nuclear oncology, I think that there has been less emphasis on that, or at least on personalised dosimetry.
Right.
I mean, obviously, this is a big topic of conversation in the field at the moment. But compared to external beam radiotherapy, I think the nuclear oncology treatments have lagged a bit behind in that way. And then I think the other difference is that in radiation oncology, there is now a vast tradition of combining radiation with systemic treatments, and many diseases, malignancies are treated with combined therapy regimens. And again, that is a difference, because I think a lot of nuclear medicine treatments are given as standalone, often in end stage scenarios.
Right, where, so when the other treatments have failed, then you do the nuclear rather than saying this is the first line treatment in combination.
Absolutely. So our interest is in beginning to develop systems for combining dose from both external beam radiation and from targeted radionuclide therapy, and that's what I was talking about today. It's going to be a very complex challenge, mainly because the radiobiological effects of external beam radiotherapy, which is given in very high dose rate, are very different to those of targeted radionuclide therapy, where dose is absorbed over a long period of time. So understanding the differences in the radiobiological effects and taking those differences into account when we try to combine these two treatments is terribly important, and I think we're only really just beginning to get to grips with that.
Right. So, I mean, I think there's kind of almost two aspects to that. One is the radiation effects, almost like radiotherapy gives it too intensely, nuclear medicine gives it too slowly. Yeah. Something in the middle is probably more appropriate. Mm-hmm. You want to do, but the other effect is just the geometrics. Yes. So you've got a large bulk tumor that maybe the trace is not going to get into the middle of, whereas a radiotherapy, exactly, you've got a single cell. You're not going to target radiotherapy on a single cell, but a new radionuclide can target that single cell maybe effectively. So that's the combination you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So this is a concept, again, which we're familiar with in mainstream oncology, combining a local treatment, radiation oncology, with a systemic treatment. And this is called spatial cooperation. And you've described it perfectly correctly, that if we can debulk a primary tumour, which is usually the largest volume of tumour, and then use a systemic treatment to deal with either occult or frank metastases. And so I think this is the way forward.
And it makes a lot of sense too, because it means that there's difficulties and logistics around radiotherapy, and there's difficulties in logistics around radioisotope therapy. Yes. In terms of supply, maybe you can help alleviate both concerns by maximizing the effectiveness of both.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I suppose ideally what we will find is that by combining both, we can escalate dose to tumor, because now we're combining dose from two different sources, if you like, without necessarily increasing the risk of toxicity to normal tissues. Right. And we think that may be the case, because the normal tissues at risk are different for the two types of treatment.
Right.
So that's a potential advantage of combining the two.
And I guess we're really working closer to actually maybe looking at cures for treatments, or at least longer remission periods for these hard to treat cancers in that respect.
Yeah, I think so. I think there are many indications where this combined approach could be very helpful. We've done some work ourselves in the context of a selective internal radiation therapy for hepatic tumours, and the possibility of combining that treatment with external beam radiotherapy.
I think there was two aspects that you touched on. One was using, because the theranostics often use a diagnostic which is the same as the therapeutic target, either the same molecule, for example, copper 64 and copper 67, and
sure,
so on. But what we can do with that, we can measure the effectiveness of the radioisotope and figure out where it hasn't been effective, and maybe then we can retarget with radiotherapy.
Exactly.
And that would enhance the effectiveness of them.
So the concept is that you could give CERT, and as long as you had accurate dosimetry, you could define those areas of metastases that were underdosed.
Yes.
With the CERT, and potentially top the dose up with stereotactic ablative radiotherapy, for example, a very precise hypofractionated way of giving radiation therapy. So I think that's perfectly plausible. It's going to take some work and research to figure out exactly how to do it safely. But that's just one example. I think there will be others.
Well, I think you gave another example, which was that by increasing the permeability of lesions by giving external beam radiotherapy, you can make the radioactive material more effective by getting into tumours. Would that be?
Yeah. So that's another potential mechanism, if you like, for a collaborative effect of the two treatments. And we know that external beam radiotherapy has an effect on blood vessels. It tends to cause them to become more permeable, at least briefly after the radiation is given. And it's possible that if we timed administration of a radionuclide therapy properly with the radiation, external beam radiation, that we might see increased uptake accumulation of the radionuclide in tumour because of that effect. So that's something that we've observed in some preclinical small animal work that we've done. And yes, I think that's a potentially exploitable interaction between the two treatments.
I think there's a lot of work ahead.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to involve a lot of people doing a lot of research, and it's going to involve measurement.
Yeah.
It's going to involve lots of measurement.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
How can people find out a bit more about this?
About the...
about these different research projects, about how they can participate, about how they can get involved.
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, I think at the moment, there's a lot of work to do in the preclinical area. What we don't know at the moment is how to schedule these two treatments together.
Yes.
As I say, we've got to understand much more the radiobiological effects of the radionuclide therapies so that we can incorporate that information into combined treatment dose maps. So that's pretty investigational at the moment. That's really being done mainly in the preclinical arena. But I think people are beginning to think about developing clinical protocols, and we talked about one in the session today, where there is a plan to combine radio-labeled PSMA with external beam radiotherapy in prostate cancer. And so I think these clinical protocols, you know, prospective studies, rational studies combining the two treatments are going to start emerging over the next few months to years. And, you know, we'd encourage people to participate in that work and those clinical trials.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. That's amazing stuff. And I think, I'd encourage people who are interested in this to get on board and just do it. And I think a lot of these, some of these are not huge trials. Some of them are small ones.
Right.
They can be doable, I think, if people apply to the right places and get the right grants or get commercial funding. For example, the one talked about today was largely commercial funded, but that was in Western Australia. So I think, you know, there's lots of work that can be done along this area. And I really appreciate the work that you've done. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.